In a few short weeks, shorter than we want to admit, many of us are going to be gathered with friends and family over the Thanksgiving holiday season. And then a few short weeks after that, gathered together again over Christmas with family and friends. And if we've learned nothing spending time with our family in particular and friends as well, we've learned that the fastest way to ruin any kind of gathering along those lines is to start talking about religion or politics, right? And the double whammy will send it south faster than anything, talking about religion and politics. We're family, and I may be about to ruin this gathering, because I want to talk to you a little bit about religion and politics. I think it's important, especially as we head into what is about to happen this week. There's a famous quote from Mahatma Gandhi that says, I'm paraphrasing, "Those who believe that religion has nothing to do with politics don't know what religion is." Some may disagree with that. I agree with it. I think it's important for those of us who are Christians, who claim faith in Jesus Christ in particular, to acknowledge that our faith, our religion, then, has to do with every part of our lives. That this hour on Sunday mornings that we spend together in this sacred space is not the place where we pull our religion out for a little while and then put it back in its box when we leave again. But our religion is meant to, our faith is meant to inform everything that we do and we say in our lives together. And that, of course, then includes our political life, our individual and corporate political life. Now, very quickly, I'll put your mind at ease and let you know I'm not here to talk specifically about any candidates or any particular platforms or policies, but in general about the political process and about the voting process. Some things that I think are important for us as Christians to keep in mind as we go into that process ourselves. Some of you have already voted. Many of you, I hope, plan to do so on Tuesday or before now on Tuesday. So a few words to you about that. But first, I want to share with you, I was online yesterday and I came across many of you who have or will be voting in the next few days will likely be offered one of those little stickers that says, I voted, right, on it. And if you've been on Facebook, a lot of folks who've done the early voting have posted pictures that they said, I voted. I came across these images yesterday of potential variations on the I voted stickers that I thought were really good and I wanted to share, especially as we head into this particular political season, this particular election. Some of these I thought, they're not actually printed, I don't think, but they might be worth it. So here's some variations on that. One could say, I voted and I never felt so bad about myself. I voted and I'm so sorry, America. I voted and I want to punch myself in the face. I voted and I can't get up. I voted and it hurts so bad. I voted and I could use a hug. I voted and I don't want to talk about it. I voted and a little piece of me died. I voted and I'm crying on the inside. I voted and now I'm dead to myself. I voted, should my eyes be bleeding like this? There were some others that weren't suited to be shared on a Sunday morning service in church. I think many of us are feeling that some of the laughter is because it's funny. Some of the laughter is because, as often is the case, there's some truth in humor, right? And some of us are feeling that way as we head into the election, and in particular as we look at the presidential election. A few things I want to encourage you and urge you to do as you go about your civic duty of voting as a citizen of the United States, those of you who have the privilege of doing so, and from particularly a Christian perspective. The first thing I want to urge you to do, and I want to encourage you to do, is as you go to vote on Tuesday, or whenever the case may be that you're voting, I want you, as you vote, to not just vote for yourself. I want you to take to heart the passage from Philippians where Paul writes, consider others better than yourselves. And keep in mind that as you cast your vote, you might be voting your own conscience, but your vote, like all of our votes collectively, will affect many more than just ourselves. And so I encourage you to consider who it is that will be impacted the most by whatever vote you cast. And I think in keeping in tradition with the scriptures themselves, especially the witness of the Old Testament, which is carried through into the New Testament, I commend to you very thoughtful and prayerful consideration of those who we also often consider the most vulnerable. There is a theme that runs throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament of God's particular concern in those times and in that language of the widow and of the orphan and of the alien. those who in that particular time and in that particular context were the most vulnerable members of that society. And I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider who it is in our current time and context and in our society who would be labeled as the widow, the orphan, and the alien. Who is it that is most vulnerable and in need of the most care and protection? And as you cast your vote on Tuesday, I want you to consider who is it as far as candidates and what is it in terms of platforms and policies that in particular seek to take care of the widow and the orphan and the alien. Keep that in mind as you go to the polls this Tuesday. Ask yourself, who is it that is most vulnerable in the midst of our country and our society? And think carefully about who it is and what it is you're voting for, and whether or not that then also, or that person also, has those people's concerns at the front of their minds. I want, secondly, to urge you, especially in this election season, not to vote based on fear. Over and over and over again in the scriptures, Old Testament and New, we find God's word to God's people, often in the form of a special messenger, the first word coming forth, do not fear. Do not fear. One of the things that has been the most frustrating and discouraging to me is the amount of fear-mongering that has been going on in this election season by many candidates on many sides of many issues. I urge you as brothers and sisters in faith who are encouraged time and time again by our scriptures not to fear, not to cast your vote on Tuesday for national, regional, local representatives, for certain platforms or policies. I urge you not to make those decisions based on fear. We are to be a people of hope. We are called to lead as people of hope. So as you cast your vote, don't do so because you think this, that, or the other person or group of people or whatever may be coming to take this, that, or the other thing away from you. Don't base it off of that. Ask yourself, what does this person or this platform or this policy have to offer to me and to my community and to my country in terms of a word of hope, in terms of looking forward to what will be good and what will be fruitful in the future, and not simply what is so terrible and what is so bad now or in the past or in the future. Don't base your vote off of fear. We are not people of fear. We are the people who worship and serve and witness to the one who defeated death once and for all. If we no longer need to fear death, there is nothing we no longer need to fear. So do not cast your vote, I urge you and I encourage you, based off of fear. Look for hope and vote for hope wherever you see it, wherever the Lord is guiding you in that. And very closely connected to both of those, I encourage you, most importantly, as you lead into Tuesday and beyond, do not place your trust in these people and these people alone. Do not expect that somehow one candidate or another, one platform or another, one policy or another will be the one thing that we can hang our hat on once and for all, and it will never fail us. Because the fact is, we are all broken. And we are all sinful, and that is true of every candidate that is up for election on every level when we vote on Tuesday, every single one. If we place all of our hopes and all of our dreams on that person, we are only continuing the habits of those who have come before. I commend to you the lessons that we have learned and not learned in many ways from our ancestors in the Old Testament, the Israelites, who after they were led out of slavery and into the promised land and had God as their leader, continued to ask God for a human leader. And God resisted and eventually relented and gave them the judges to lead them. But the judges weren't enough. And they continually came after God and said, we need a king, we need a king, we need a king. God knew that it would not be good for them, but they kept going and going and going, and God finally relented and gave them a king. And it was good for a while and in some ways, but ultimately it led to their demise. We have continued that pattern over and over again. God knows better than we do how often we fail one another. Please don't put your trust in the person or people that you are voting for, thinking that they will not fail you or that the other one absolutely has no redeemable value and they cannot ever serve you. All of them are broken. All of them are sinful. Our trust needs to be in God and in God alone, because only God will be faithful to that trust that we put in God. My favorite verse of Scripture I know I share with many of you is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not on this or that or any other candidate for elected office in this or any season, not on any particular political platform or on any particular policy. They come and they go in ways that our God does not. Our God remains faithful and unmoved. Our God is worthy of our trust, and so I commend to you not to put all of your trust into one candidate or another, one platform or another, one policy or another, but to put your trust in God and in God alone as you come to that ballot box on Tuesday. So I encourage you and I urge you as brothers and sisters in faith, as those seeking with me earnestly to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to consider others better than yourselves. And as you come to cast your vote, remember in particular the widow, the orphan, and the alien, those in our midst who are most vulnerable, and consider what is best for them as well as what is best for you. And I urge you, do not cast your vote out of fear. Find something to hope in. If there is no hope in this candidate, or this platform, or that platform that you can discern, then feel free to not vote for that person or that candidate in that particular place. Do not vote simply out of fear, please. And trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord far more than you ever could trust and be sustained by any of our elected officials who are sinners like you and I, just as broken as you and I, just as redeemed as you and I by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our trust is in the Lord and in the Lord alone. Tuesday is going to come and it's going to go. And as long as Jesus doesn't come back on that day, Wednesday is going to come as well, and Thursday and Friday and the days after. And if we've learned nothing in all of the time leading up to this election, what we've learned is that many people will feel elated and will feel relieved if their candidate or their platform or their policies are voted for, are elected, and win. But just as many will feel devastated and discouraged and disenfranchised. There may be validity to some of that, there may not be validity to some of that, but the fact of the matter is that's how people will feel. And on the other side of this election, on the other side of any election, but this one I think in particular, there will be a great need for those of us who know that this is not our last hope to lead the way to a place of less divisiveness, to more unity, to peace, to working together on these issues, to finding common ground, so that we cannot be separated as much as our brothers and sisters who do not know the peace and the unity and love that we know in Jesus Christ, but that they can then come to know that we know the same. One of the things I have always loved about the church and about the Presbyterian Church in particular is that we can come together on a Sunday morning. We can come together around this same table, worship the same God, sing the same hymns, and pray the same prayers, even if we disagree entirely on politics, or to some degree even our own religion, or any other matter. This is a place where we can come together because God calls us together, not because we've decided to, because we think these are the best people, but because God calls us together into that unity and into that community. And that witness is going to be incredibly important for our nation and for the rest of the world on the other side of this election, regardless of the outcome. So I urge you, in the same way that I've urged you as you approach the election in those ways, that on the other side, to reach out across the aisle to one another, not just with a hand, but with the peace of Christ, just as we've passed the peace to one another a few moments ago, with the peace of Christ to those with whom you agree and those with whom you disagree, because I think that's the way we best honor the call that has been placed on our lives by our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Those are the words I have to you about religion and politics today. I encourage you to take them with you as you go to the polling places on Tuesday. And know that as you go, my prayer as your brother in Christ will go with you as well as you make those decisions. Thank you for considering that. Thank you for not just checking your faith at the door, but taking it with you as you walk into that moment and allowing the Lord and the Holy Spirit to guide you in that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.